blood on the snow, and a heavy chest of gold. That was the steep price for a human bride. The Lycan King of the North didn't desire a lover. He bought a ledger keeper to save his rotting stronghold. What he got was a woman who stared down monsters and made him laugh. The wind howling through the jagged peaks of the Ethelgard Mountains carried the scent of pine iron and the undeniable musk of wet beast. High above the treacherous valleys stood Wolfsgate, a sprawling, crumbling fortress of black stone that housed the Ironhorn Pack. At its helm was King Garrick. Garrick was not a king of silk and velvet. He was a king of bone blood and constant agonizing survival. Standing at 6'5", his body was a tapestry of silver scars earned through decades of defending his territory from rogue packs and encroaching human armies. But while his claws could shred a man in seconds, they could not hold a quill. They could not balance the kingdom's dwindling treasury, nor could they negotiate the complex grain tariffs required to keep his people from starving when the harsh, brutal winter descended. The Ironhorn Lycans were legendary warriors, but they were abysmal administrators. Their fortress was falling apart, the larders were poorly managed, and the pack's gold was bleeding out through bad trades and internal theft. Garrick needed a steward, but human stewards stole from him, and Lycan stewards settled disputes by tearing each other's throats out. He needed someone bound to him, by law, someone who possessed the cold, calculating intelligence of the human nobility, but could not betray him without destroying herself. He needed a wife. But not just any wife, a practical, ruthless, entirely unromantic wife. The transaction was handled with the cold efficiency of a horse trade. Garrick sent his emissaries to the impoverished human territory of House Croft. Lord Edric Croft was drowning in gambling debts and desperate for silver. For 3 chests of pure Lycan silver, Edric gladly sold his eldest daughter, Madeline. At 26, Madeline Croft was considered a tragic spinster in the human courts. She possessed no delicate beauty. Her features were sharp, her hair a severe mousy brown, and her eyes an icy, calculating grey. She lacked the simpering grace of her younger sisters, preferring the dusty archives of her father's estate to the ballroom. When Lord Edric informed her, she was to be married off to the savage Lycan King of the North. Madeline didn't weep. She merely asked for 3 heavy woolen cloaks and her personal collection of accounting ledgers. She knew what she was a commodity. If she was to be traded to a beast, or she would ensure the beast's den was at least properly insulated. When the Ironhorn escort brought her up the treacherous mountain pass, the men expected their new queen to tremble. The journey was harrowing, the human carriage rattling over frozen mud. Yet Madeline sat upright aggressively, cross-referencing a leather-bound inventory book, completely ignoring the massive yellow-eyed wolves tracking her carriage through the tree line. Upon arriving at the courtyard of Wolfsgate, the scene was one of primal chaos. Lycan warriors, half-dressed in furs and leather, sparred brutally in the mud. The smell of roasting meat mingled with the stench of unwashed bodies and sour ale. Garrick stood atop the grand stone stairs, a looming, terrifying silhouette against the grey sky. His golden eyes locked onto the carriage. He expected a terrified, weeping girl. He expected to have to bark orders to keep his men from terrifying her to death. Instead, the carriage door swung open, and Madeline stepped out. She did not wait for a hand. She dragged her heavy skirts out of the muck, took one long, sweeping look at the chaotic, blood-stained courtyard, and then locked eyes with the Lycan King. Garrick descended the stairs, his heavy boots crunching on the frost. When he reached her, he let a low, rumbling growl vibrate in his chest, a standard dominance display meant to establish his absolute authority. Madeline didn't flinch. She adjusted her thick wool shawl and pointed a gloved finger toward the right side of the courtyard. Your grain silos are built entirely wrong, Madeline said, her voice crisp and carrying perfectly over the din of the sparring warriors. The stone is porous and the runoff from the stables is seeping directly into the foundation. You are losing at least 30% of your winter yield to black mold. No wonder you had to buy me. You're bleeding gold from sheer incompetence. Silence fell over the courtyard. The sparring warriors froze. A few shifted nervously, waiting for their volatile king to backhand the insolent human woman into the mud. Garrick stared down at her. Her gray eyes met his golden ones without a trace of fear, only deep bureaucratic irritation. He looked at the grain silos. He looked back at his new bride. 30%, Garrick asked, his deep voice scraping like stones. At least, Madeline replied, stepping past him to gesture at a pile of rotting timber. And those palisades are structurally unsound. If we don't reinforce them before the first heavy snowfall, the eastern wall will collapse. I assume I have a study. I will need the castle's financial records from the last 5 years, a pot of strong black tea, and a fire that doesn't smoke. Lead the way, Your Grace. She marched past the most dangerous predator in the northern realm, entirely focused on the castle's dilapidated state. Garrick stood frozen for a moment. A strange, unfamiliar sensation fluttered in his chest. It took him a moment to recognize it as relief. He had paid for a practical wife, but he hadn't realized he had purchased a dictator. Follow her, Garrick barked at his stunned guards, a faint, hidden twitch of amusement pulling at the corner of his scarred mouth, and fix the damn grain silos. The marriage was consummated by a legally binding contract signed in the Great Hall, witnessed by a pack of feral warriors who didn't understand a word of the dense legal jargon Madeline had drafted. There was no grand feast, no bedding ceremony, mostly because Madeline had informed the king that a feast would severely deplete their meat reserves, and she was far too busy auditing the treasury to entertain his bedchamber. Garrick, exhausted from a border skirmish that morning, had simply grunted in agreement, signed the parchment, and gone to sleep in his own quarters. Within 3 weeks, Madeline turned Wolfsgate upside down. She did not try to learn their customs, nor did she attempt to earn their love. She earned their compliance through sheer, unadulterated administrative terror. When the Lycan warriors refused to clean the Great Hall, she simply locked the armory and withheld the sharpening stones. When the cooks complained that she was rationing the imported spices, she replaced their ale rations with well water until they capitulated. The pack was in an uproar, but remarkably, the fortress began to function. The halls were scrubbed, the roofs were patched, and the winter stores were finally catalogued correctly. However, not everyone was amused by the human queen. Gideon Garrick's beta and second-in-command deeply resented Madeline. Gideon was a massive, scarred brute who believed the Lycans should take what they needed through blood and conquest, not trade and rationing. He saw Madeline's control over the treasury as an insult to their feral nature. One cold afternoon, Madeline was in her study, her hand stained with ink, trying to decipher the appalling handwriting of the previous quartermaster. The door slammed open, rebounding off the stone wall with a crack. Gideon stalked into the room. He was in his half-shifted state, a terrifying hybrid of man and wolf. His claws gouged the wooden floorboards, his fangs bared, saliva dripping onto the rugs. It was a terrifying display, meant to send any human into a dead faint. Gideon slammed his massive clawed hands onto Madeline's desk, shattering an inkwell. You denied my request for 50 heads of cattle for the Southern Guard, he snarled, his hot breath ruffling her hair. You forget your place, human. You are a purchased breeder, not the alpha of this pack. Madeline slowly lowered her quill. She looked at the shattered inkwell, then up at Gideon's monstrous face. That ink was imported from the Eastern Sea, Madeline said flatly. It costs 2 silver pieces a vial. I am docking your personal wages to replace it. Gideon blinked his furious snarl, faltering into a look of absolute confusion. Did you not hear me? I could snap your neck with 2 fingers. And then you would have to balance the winter ledgers yourself, Madeline replied, picking up a cloth to calmly wipe her desk. As for the cattle, you requested 50 heads for a border post that houses exactly 12 men. Unless each man is eating an entire cow every 3 days, which is biologically impossible, even for your kind, without dying of gout, you are either wasting food or you are moving provisions somewhere else. Request denied. Now get out of my light, Gideon. You are casting a shadow on my tax reports. Garrick, who had heard the commotion from the hallway, stood leaning against the doorframe, watching the exchange. He watched his terrifying beta, a warrior who had ripped the heads off, enemy warlords stand completely dumbfounded, outmatched by a woman wielding a rag and a ledger. Gideon let out a frustrated, confused whine, turned on his heel, and stormed out of the room, careful not to gouge the floorboards on his way out. When the room was empty, save for the two of them, Garrick finally stepped inside. He looked at Madeline, who was already dipping a fresh quill into a backup inkwell. You show no fear, Garrick noted, his deep voice echoing in the quiet study. Fear is unproductive, Madeline said without looking up. Besides, if he wanted to kill me, he would have done it before knocking over the ink. It was a theatrical display. I do not have time for theater. That evening, the tension in the castle reached a boiling point. In the great hall, a dispute broke out over a fresh deer carcass. 2 rival factions within the pack, agitated by the new strict rations, descended into a brutal, bloody brawl. Tables were smashed, ale was spilled, and the sounds of snarling beasts echoed off the vaulted ceilings. Garrick, sitting at the high table, stood up, preparing to roar his pack into submission. It usually required him physically beating the alphas of the factions to end these disputes. But before he could step down, a sharp, piercing whistle cut through the hall. Madeline stood on a bench, 2 fingers in her mouth. The sheer shock of the unladylike noise made a few of the fighting lycans pause. Kitchen staff! Madeline shouted, her voice ringing with absolute authority. Bring the slurry! Before anyone could react, the heavy kitchen doors swung open. 12 terrified human servants ran in, carrying massive buckets of freezing, foul-smelling grey water, the leftover slurry from washing the root vegetables and slaughterhouse floors. Following Madeline's prior, highly specific instructions, they hurled the freezing, putrid water directly over the brawling werewolves. The shock of the ice-cold, foul water instantly broke the bloodlust. The massive, terrifying lycans stood shivering, dripping with potato peels and muddy water, looking entirely pathetic. Fighting destroys furniture, Madeline declared, loudly stepping down from the bench. Furniture costs silver. Anyone who participated in this brawl will forfeit their meat rations for the next 14 days. You will eat boiled oats until you learn to behave like civilized beings, instead of feral pups. Someone fetch a mop. The great hall was dead silent. The deadliest warriors in the north were looking down at the potato peels, stuck to their fur, thoroughly chastised. At the high table, Garrick stared at his wife. He looked at the shivering warriors, then at Madeline, who was fastidiously brushing a speck of dust off her sleeve. A strange sound began in Garrick's chest. It started as a low rumble, and the pack instinctively cringed, thinking the king was about to exact bloody punishment. But the rumble grew rising in his throat until it broke out into the open air. Garrick threw his head back and laughed. It was a booming, rich, earth-shaking sound. It echoed through the rafters, startling the bats in the belfry. The pack stared in shock. No one had heard the king laugh since the last blood war 10 years ago. He laughed until tears pricked the corners of his golden eyes, holding his stomach as he watched his vicious, bloodthirsty warriors defeated by root vegetable water and the threat of oatmeal. Madeline turned to him, an eyebrow raised in mild disapproval. "I fail to see the humor, Your Grace. The cost of replacing those benches will set our budget back by 3 days." "Your—" Garrick managed to say, catching his breath and wiping a tear from his scarred cheek, "are the most terrifying creature in this fortress." He stepped down from the dais, ignoring the wet, sulking wolves, and walked over to her. For the first time, he didn't look at her as a purchased asset. He looked at her with profound, genuine admiration. He reached out his massive, scarred hand, gently brushing a stray lock of mousy brown hair behind her ear. The touch was surprisingly soft, and for a fleeting second, the pragmatic, unshakable Madeline felt a strange, traitorous flush rise in her cheeks. "Boiled oats!" Garrick chuckled softly, leaning down so only she could hear. "Remind me never to cross you, my queen." But the levity was destined to be short-lived. Later that night, long after the hall had been cleaned, Madeline sat alone in her study, the castle silent around her. She was comparing the disrupted grain reports from the southern silos to the missing cattle Gideon had requested. She ran her finger down the columns. It wasn't just incompetence. The numbers were too precise. Gideon wasn't wasting food. He was stockpiling it. He was siphoning silver grain and steel, funneling it toward the western ridge, an area supposedly abandoned. Madeline's gray eyes narrowed. She had been bought to clean up the king's house, but it appeared she had uncovered a treasonous plot. Gideon was raising a rebel army to overthrow Garrick. She closed the ledger with a soft thud. She didn't feel panic. She felt a profound irritation. A civil war, she calculated, would be devastatingly expensive for her winter budget. It was time to show her husband exactly how practical she could be. Madeline did not gasp in horror. She did not run frantically through the dark, drafty corridors of Wolfsgate to throw herself into her husband's arms and weep about impending doom. Such theatrics were entirely unproductive and burned unnecessary calories. Instead, she simply dipped her quill back into her spare inkwell, adjusted her wire-rimmed spectacles, and began to draft a highly detailed requisition order. If Gideon was building a rebel army on the western ridge, he was doing so on her budget. That was an insult she would not abide. The following morning, the great hall was tense. The pack was still eating boiled oats, and the collective mood was fouler than a stagnant swamp. Garrick sat upon his heavy wooden chair, his golden eyes scanning his people, sensing the underlying friction. He knew his beta Gideon was restless. He knew the strict human laws his new wife was enforcing chafed against their feral instincts. But Garrick also knew that for the first time in 5 years, the castle was warm and the winter stores were actually full. Madeline entered the hall precisely at 8 o'clock. She carried a massive stack of leather-bound books, flanked by 2 human servants, struggling to carry a heavy slate chalkboard. "Silence, please," Madeline announced, clapping her hands briskly. The sharp sound echoed off the stone walls, immediately snapping the pack's attention toward her. Garrick leaned forward, resting his chin on his scarred fist, deeply fascinated by whatever she was about to do. "I have completed the preliminary autumn audit," Madeline declared, instructing the servants to prop the chalkboard near the high table. "And I have uncovered several severe discrepancies in our logistical supply chain, discrepancies that I will now outline for the entire pack." Gideon, sitting near the fire, let out a derisive snort. "We do not care for your human numbers, witch. Leave the pack business to the wolves. When the wolves learn basic arithmetic, I will gladly retire to my chambers," Madeline countered smoothly, picking up a piece of white chalk. "Until then, pay attention." She drew a sharp, straight line down the center of the board, organizing her findings with absolute precision. Madeline tapped the chalk against the board. the sharp clack-clack echoing in the dead silent hall. As you can see, 50% of our missing resources were not lost to nature or poor trade. They were systematically rerouted by our Beta Gideon to the Western Ridge. Furthermore, the forged merchant logs were signed using a wax seal that I personally verified against Gideon's private signet ring. He is supplying an army of mercenaries to orchestrate a coup against King Garrick. The silence that followed was absolute. It was so quiet one could hear the fire crackling in the hearth. The Lycans stared at the board, then at Gideon. In their culture, a challenge for the throne was settled in a ring of blood and mud, naked and howling. To overthrow an alpha through embezzlement and secret stockpiles was considered the ultimate act of cowardice. Gideon's face flushed a deep, dangerous crimson. His eyes flared yellow, and his fingernails elongated into jagged black claws. "You lying human harlot," he roared, kicking his bench backward so violently it shattered against the stone floor. "You fabricated those numbers to turn my alpha against me." "I do not fabricate numbers," Madeline replied coldly. "Numbers are pure. It is your treason that is messy. You also miscalculated the feed ratio for the cattle. They will be starving by midwinter if you keep them penned in those specific caves. It is terribly inefficient planning." With a deafening snarl, Gideon launched himself across the room. He shifted midair, his clothes ripping apart, as heavy gray fur burst from his skin, his jaw elongating into a terrifying, slavering snout. He was aiming directly for Madeline's throat. Madeline did not move. She merely sighed, annoyed that he was bleeding onto her clean floorboards. Before Gideon could close the distance, a massive blur of black fur and silver scars intercepted him. Garrick collided with his beta, the force of their impact shaking the very foundations of the hall. The two massive beasts tumbled across the stone, snapping, clawing, and tearing at each other in a whirlwind of primal fury. The fight was brutal, but it was remarkably short. Garrick was the Lycan King for a reason. With a sickening crunch, Garrick pinned Gideon to the floor, his massive jaws clamped firmly around his beta's throat, just enough to draw blood and demand absolute submission. Gideon whimpered, reverting back to his human form, naked and bleeding on the cold stone. Garrick stood over him, breathing heavily, wiping blood from his chin. He looked at the traitor, his golden eyes burning with betrayal. "Lock him in the deep dungeons," Garrick barked to his guards. "I will decide his execution by nightfall." As the guards dragged the treacherous beta away, Garrick turned to his wife. Madeline was casually wiping chalk dust from her fingers with a linen handkerchief. "You discovered a rebellion," Garrick said, his voice a low, raspy rumble of disbelief. "And instead of running, you presented it as a budgetary grievance." "Treason is incredibly expensive, Your Grace," Madeline stated flatly. "I had to nip it in the bud before it ruined my quarterly projections. However, we have a much larger problem." Garrick raised a scarred eyebrow. "Larger than my second-in-command attempting to murder me." "Yes," Madeline said, turning back to the board. "I audited the silver coins Gideon stole. They were not used to hire Lycan mercenaries. They were sent directly to House Croft. My father, Lord Edric, did not just sell me to pay his debts. He sold me to gain an inside informant. Gideon was working with him. My father's human army is currently marching up the Ethelgard Pass to slaughter your pack while you are weakened by internal strife, all under the guise of rescuing his tragic daughter from the savage beasts." Garrick's expression darkened into a terrifying mask of predatory rage. "Your father intends to lay siege to Wolfsgate." "He does," Madeline confirmed, picking up her heavy ledger. "Which is extremely inconvenient, as I have scheduled the roof repairs for tomorrow. We must dispatch them swiftly." By dawn, the piercing blare of war horns echoed through the jagged peaks of the Æthelgard Mountains. Lord Edric Croft had arrived. From the high battlements of Wolfsgate, Garrick stared down at the human army amassing in the valley below. There were nearly 2,000 men, heavily armored, foot soldiers, archers, and siege engines. The Ironhorn pack was fierce, but they numbered barely 300 active warriors. A direct assault would result in a massacre. Garrick wore no armor, only heavy leather and furs. He prepared his mind for death. He would fight until his claws broke and his heart stopped to protect his people. He turned to find Madeline standing beside him on the icy parapet, wrapped securely in her three woolen cloaks, holding a steaming mug of black tea. "You should be in the crypts," Garrick ordered, gently placing a massive hand on her shoulder. "It is safe there. When the gates fall, they will come for you. Tell your father you were a prisoner. He will spare you." Madeline took a slow sip of her tea, completely ignoring his tragic romantic resignation. "The gates will not fall," Madeline said briskly. "I had the hinges reinforced last Tuesday, and I certainly will not speak to my father. He still owes me back pay from auditing his pathetic estate." Garrick frowned in confusion. "Madeline, they outnumber us 6-1. They have catapults?" "They have catapults positioned directly over the frozen hollows of the Eastern Pass," Madeline corrected, pointing a gloved finger down at the enemy formations. "A terrible strategic blunder. They assume the ground is solid rock. It is not. It is a network of hollow limestone caves." "How do you know that?" "Because I read the geological survey reports from 2 centuries ago while trying to locate a proper well source," Madeline replied, "and because I spent 60 silver pieces last week purchasing highly volatile dwarven mining explosives from the Eastern merchants." Garrick stared at her, his golden eyes wide. "You bought explosives?" "I documented it under landscaping expenses," Madeline said calmly. "I had your perimeter guards bury them beneath the hollows 3 days ago, rigged to a remote tripwire operated from the lower watchtower. Down in the valley, Lord Edric Croft sat atop a white stallion, looking arrogant and victorious. He raised his sword, signaling his archers to advance, and his catapults to load their heavy stones. Madeline raised her free hand and signaled a guard holding a red flag on the parapet. The guard waved it sharply. Far below, a lone lichen hidden in the watchtower yanked a heavy iron lever. The explosion was magnificent. It was not a fiery inferno, but a deafening, earth-shattering detonation that ripped through the bedrock of the valley. The hollow limestone caves beneath the human army collapsed instantly. A massive trench opened in the earth, swallowing the catapults, the siege engines, and the entire front line of Edric's vanguard in a terrifying cloud of dust, snow, and pulverized rock. The deafening roar echoed off the mountains, terrifying the human cavalry horses, which bucked and bolted, throwing their heavily armored riders into the freezing mud. Within seconds, Lord Edric's highly coordinated assault turned into a chaotic, screaming retreat. The human soldiers, realizing the mountain itself was rigged against them, dropped their weapons and fled down the pass in absolute terror. Edric Croft, screaming orders that nobody heard, was thrown from his horse and forced to limp back down the mountain, humiliated and utterly defeated. Garrick stood on the wall, paralyzed by shock. The siege was over before a single drop of lichen blood had been spilled. He looked at the massive crater in his valley, then slowly turned his head to look at his wife. Madeline blew softly on her tea, her icy gray eyes watching the retreating army with deep satisfaction. Cost of human casualties, 0. Madeline muttered to herself, mentally calculating the figures. Cost of structural damage acceptable. Cost of dwarven explosives, steep but ultimately a brilliant return on investment. Garrick could not help it. For the second time since her arrival, A massive, booming laugh erupted from his chest. He grabbed Madeline by the waist and hoisted her into the air, spinning her around on the freezing battlement. "Put me down, Your Grace. You will make me spill my tea." Madeline scolded, though her voice lacked its usual sharp edge. Garrick set her down gently, but did not release her waist. He looked down into her sharp, unremarkable face, entirely mesmerized. She was not a warrior. She did not wield a sword or command magic, but she had protected his pack with a ferocity he had never witnessed in his life. "You saved my kingdom," Garrick whispered, his voice thick with emotion. "You saved my people." "It is my kingdom too, Garrick," Madeline replied, looking up at him, her heart doing a strange, entirely uncalculated flutter. "And I refuse to let my father ruin my balance sheets. Besides, who would yell at the kitchen staff if you were all dead?" Garrick smiled a genuine warm smile that completely transformed his scarred, terrifying face into something handsome and breathtaking. He leaned down his forehead, resting gently against hers. "I bought a ledger keeper," Garrick murmured softly, his breath warming her cold cheeks. "But the fates gave me a true queen." Madeline did not push him away. She leaned into his warmth, closing her eyes for a brief, highly inefficient moment. "Just remember," Madeline whispered back a faint smile, finally gracing her own lips. "You still owe me for the inkwell Gideon broke." Garrick laughed again, pulling her tightly against his chest as the winter snow began to fall over their newly secured fortress. The Lycan King of the North had paid for a practical wife, but he had found the one woman capable of bringing order to his chaos, warmth to his halls, and a genuine smile to his weary soul. "Did Madeline's cold calculations warm your heart?" "Sometimes the greatest romances aren't born of poetic declarations and delicate flowers, but of mutual respect, shared survival, and a perfectly balanced winter budget." If you enjoyed this tale of the Lycan King and his ruthlessly practical human queen, please hit the like button, share this video with your fellow fantasy romance lovers, and subscribe to our channel for more thrilling stories from the Northern Realm. Drop a comment below with your favorite moment.